Today, we are delighted to have our speaker, John Self, with us. I'm especially delighted to have John Self with us because I was not sure whether he was going to make it or not, because he has been deployed in the wake of Helene unexpectedly, but fortunately was able to get back to be with us today. So John is the child of a military family, so he grew up all over the United States. He went to college at Mississippi College, which you may know is the oldest private university in Mississippi. He has been married for almost 5 years to Abigail, his wife, and the two of them have been very involved and leaders in the young adult ministry here at St. Philip's. John is often the moderator at our Theology on Tuesdays over at Henry's on the Market, where we have usually 70 to 100 people between 19 and 30 up there in the bar, and lots of questions coming at us, and so he helps sort through that and helps make Justin and me look good when we're up there, so we're very grateful for that. He and his wife also lead a Bible study here and are involved in a number of other things. Professionally, John is an engineer officer in the Army Reserve. He has been deployed in a variety of different circumstances. He also works for the COO of a boating company in Somerville. And last but not least, he is pursuing ordination in the Anglican Diocese of South Carolina. So we are delighted to have him come today and share some of his story with us. Let me say a prayer and we will welcome him up. Father, we thank you so much for this day and for this chance to gather in your name. We thank you for John. We pray that you would give him your words to speak, that you would open our hearts to hear what you would desire for us to learn this day, and that you would use this time for your glory. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in welcoming John Self.
Thank you, Brian, for that introduction. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here today. Thank you for allowing me to share my testimony. So just to give you a brief introduction about my testimony, it's pretty random. God has his way of bringing me out of things to direct everything to his glory. And the second thing is that my testimony can be pretty messy, as we all know from our own experience with sin. So with that, I'm going to give you all a little bit about my family background. I grew up as a military kid. My dad served 23 years in the United States Navy. He was a Navy corpsman. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She raised four of us. So I have my older brother, Trey, my sister Katie, I'm the third, and then my younger brother Randy. And we grew up in a very like spiritually disciplined household. My dad would make us go through the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, different passages of scripture that we would go through. We'd go through different devotionals. So I grew up in a very spiritually disciplined household. My parents were very adamant about our discipline. At age five, and I give my family, or I give my parents credit for that, because I became a Christian at a very early age. I became a Christian at age five. I was sitting on a couch watching TV, and Jerry Springer came on the TV with some nonsense, and my mom comes in, rushing in, blocking the TV. She's like, "Don't watch that. That's sin." And I was like, "What's sin?" So that was a segue into the gospel, and I became a Christian at five. My childhood, I spent some time in North Carolina. My dad was stationed at Cherry Point. We went to church just outside of Camp Lejeune. So we drove an hour to go to church, that church was called Harvest Presbyterian Church. That church made a huge impact on my life because, for one thing, we had military men who who would go off to fight an actual war, come back and lead their family, be spiritual leaders, not just warriors. So that made a huge impact on my life. My dad was also deployed to Iraq. So just seeing them, what they go through, and coming back and still being able to lead their families, I knew exactly what I wanted to be growing up. And I wanted to be one of my, you know, I wanted to be like my dad, one of my heroes. So military played a profound impact in my life. My dad got back from Iraq 2007. 2008, we moved over to his last duty station before he retired, and it was the Air Force Academy, Colorado Springs, Colorado. I had a great time because my backyard was the Rockies, so we got to go and you know, hike, that sort of thing. We had a great church community in Colorado Springs. We had I had a bunch of neighborhood friends that I would play with. And with that, my neighborhood friends weren't necessarily the best people to hang out with. They were very vulgar in some ways, told me more things that I should know about sex. And in my curiosity, I wanted to look things up, and I was first exposed to pornography at age 12. There was a deep spiral going down for about a year. Every day I had to get a daily dose of it. And of course, I had to hide everything from my parents. Ironically, you know, Lord has a way of pulling you back. My family, still spiritually disciplined, would consistently go to church. I would hear the gospel being preached. And over time, the Holy Spirit just put a weight in my heart where I knew I couldn't live like that anymore. You can't serve two masters. And I knew I had to tell my family. I knew I had to confess to my parents. One night, I remember it was on a Thursday night. I was very weighty with my sin. My siblings were in bed, and I got up. My mom was still up. I said, "Mom, I need to tell you something. Like, I've been watching stuff that I shouldn't be watching. I need to tell someone this because I can't take this anymore." And my mom told me, she's like, "You know," she's like, "I hear you. You know, I have to tell your father," which is the most dreaded thing you could hear. You know, you're going to get in trouble. So I waited all Friday. Nothing happened. My dad didn't speak to me. I waited Saturday. The most random thing happened. My dad took me out to eat, which is weird, because I thought I was going to be disciplined. My dad showed me tremendous compassion that day, and showed me tremendous grace. And we were sitting down in the restaurant, and shared with me Philippians 4. That part in Philippians 4, where it talks about thinking about things that are beautiful, pure, right, good. And that had a profound impact on me, not just for his compassion and his grace, but that verse helped reform how I pursue those things. And it's a consistent daily walk with Jesus through his word. So I'm going to jump over to high school. High school, I played basketball. I ran track, cross country. Was kind of still a flirty guy, still very much interested in girls. But Lord had me grounded in different ways. So fortunately, I was very plugged into my youth group. I found the right friends in my youth group. And then my church also hosted missions conferences. And in my youth group, one guy went to Honduras, and that inspired me to go on a missions trip myself. So I ended up going to Mongolia and South Korea. I want to tell you this story because it had a very big impact on my life. You know, you know God through reading his word, and you have a relationship with him. But I never had an experience with God as the creator. So one night, we were 2 hours north of Ulaanbaatar, the capital of Mongolia. We're in this valley in the midst of mountains. And it was a clear night. Me and my buddies shouldn't have been doing this, but we snuck out and we climbed a mountain. And we got up to the mountain and we lit a little fire. We're laying on our backs looking at the stars. And when you're laying on your back and you're looking up and you feel, because the air is so clear, you could see the mountains around you. And then there's this Milky Way galaxy above you. And that was the first time I got to experience a sense of awe and wonder towards God. And that made me appreciate how small I was. So coming back from my missions trip, we were the youth group was still pretty much active and doing various like volunteering projects. I was fortunate to be mentored by the pastor of that church. It was a small church in Augusta, Georgia. And that pastor would take us out to eat, and he would have one-on-one mentorship sessions with the young men in our church. I don't remember the conversation at all, but I do remember that he mentioned at the end of our conversation, you might want to look into seminary and pursue vocational ministry. And that was, you know, a little bit eye-opening for me. For me, I just, you know, I was kind of a jock. I wanted to, you know, do military stuff. I wanted to, you know, jump out of airplanes and things like that. But that kind of surprised me. Well, I did think about it for a little bit, but I ended up going to pursue the military route. Well, senior year came by, and I got rejected by the military for all branches. I was medically disqualified. And it destroyed me because most of my friends were going into the military. And I placed so much identity in it. And my dad was my hero, and I had other mentors in the military, and I felt like I was never going to own up to it. And I was destroyed. I was so angry with God at that point. I was so angry that I asked him, why did you do this to me? I was furious. I carried that fury into college where I was, you know, I felt anger with all the, and other things redirected me in college where I would pursue something, wouldn't work out. I'd pursue another thing, didn't work out. But the one thing that God did provide was RUF, which is Reformed University Fellowship, that kept me out of trouble for the most part in college. I was plugged into RUFI, which is RUF International. We had ministry towards international students, and then we had the main body of RUF, and I was a student leader in both of them. My RUF pastor, Jeff Jordan, I would also have these one-on-one sessions with him, and he sat me down, and we were talking for the longest time. I was telling him a little bit about about my identity crisis, and he was telling me, "It's like John, I think you need to look into vocational ministry. I think you should go into chaplaincy." And at that time too, I was able to plug into ROTC, and then the National Guard finally cleared me, so I was able to go into the Department of Defense and, in a way, serve my country. And those are the two things that the Lord allowed me to do, or allowed me to be a part of in college, that helped keep me stable, give me structure, and then, of course, reemphasize the potential calling that I had. After college, I was trying to find my way. I would toy back and forth with going to seminary. I wasn't consistently walking with Christ either. So I was looking for meaning in all the wrong places. I was looking for meaning in money. So I did very well as a salesman for a lumber company. It was also during COVID. I made six figures at age 22. I didn't know, I thought that would bring me happiness. I ended up being miserable. And then I tried to go into ocean freight and then logistics. I was miserable in that as well, and I did okay in that. And then I moved over to medical device sales. I was miserable in that as well. I was focused on all the wrong things. And yet God continued to show grace and mercy through it by redirecting me and allowing certain people in my life to put me to where God is calling me. And in those jobs led us here to Charleston, South Carolina. We were in Mississippi, got married in Mississippi, worked there for a little bit, and then we moved over here to Charleston, South Carolina. We were looking for a good church community to be a part of, which was also really hard because it was during COVID. We tried a couple different churches. Really didn't work out. I was still trying to be, you know, a devoted Presbyterian. Obviously didn't work out. But Abigail, my wife, was baptized here, and her parents were married here at St. Philip's. And I got this weird hair, like, maybe just try St. Philip's. And I come over here. First thing, after the service, Bill Christian is the reason why probably... other than the Lord, but Bill Christian's the reason why we're here. So Bill Christian embraced us with a warm welcome, and Abigail and I felt at home here. And it was such a comforting fact that we finally had community. I also started to ask more questions about ministry as well. And it's through mentorship, I was finally able to get more mentorship to help me discern my calling for ministry. It's through, you know, Justin Harris, my direct mentor. I'm starting to meet with, I meet with him regularly. Jeff Miller, I'm starting to meet with him. And then, Lord willing, I'll be able to meet with Bill Christian more as well. But Brian's been a great friend. And then Andrew Odell helped, you know, through his spiritual gifts class, helped me figure out what my spiritual gifts are. So through St. Philip's, God provided a good way, or provided me with direction, and direction that I really needed, and I needed it badly. Of course, a couple people that are very impactful in my life. Abigail, of course, my wife. I met Abigail when I was 14 in Port Gibson, Mississippi. I liked her. She didn't like me at all. I was too busy. She was definitely the prettiest girl, but I was like, there are other girls around too. So, you know, so I was very flirty. I had to wait 4 years to marry Abigail. Or no, sorry, to actually get a date with Abigail. I had to wait 4 more years to marry her. But she finally said yes. Abigail has been a very solid rock for me. She's such a prayer warrior, and she's, more importantly, she's my best friend. She's put up with me a lot through my temptations and my struggles, and Abigail has been such a close companion, and I couldn't ask for a better helpmate. A person that has greatly impacted my life is my best friend, Chris Thomason. Chris and I met in college. He's kind of a weird guy. He's a tennis player, and he has just a very quirky personality. Chris also will smack you upside of the head if you're speaking nonsense. He will just shove truth at you. I remember one time I was feeling very sorry for myself at college, and Chris chewed me out in front of everyone, in front of the library. And I went home. Of course, my feelings were hurt a little bit. But I went to my dorm room afterwards and thinking, wow, man, actually, I have a great friend. My best friend chewed me out. Who has a friend like that? You know, he will set you on the right path. So Chris is also my accountability partner and my keeping me straight walking with the Lord. I meet with him pretty regularly to pray over the phone. He lives in Birmingham, Alabama. So I couldn't ask for a better friend. Josiah Jones is one of the first pastors that that mentioned that I needed to look at ministry. Jeff Jordan is another notable person that pointed me to looking at ministry. And of course, the clergy here at the parish have helped redirect me and help nurture and help me discern this calling for ministry. And Lord willing, next year I will be in I'll be in seminary. So all that to say is, you know, God has a weird way of bringing you back to himself. I could try different ways. Ultimately, God's going to win, and he has the last say in things. God's going to redirect you. My testimony might seem a bit random on where I and how I end up, where I end up in places. It's not necessarily glamorous. It's not like a change overnight type of testimony. There's a lot of failure in it, and there's a lot of me trying other things than trying to walk with Jesus. But it's the Lord's faithfulness through it all that's helped me get to where I am today. I'm very grateful for being part of the life of St. Phillips, being able to help lead Bible studies. I'm also very grateful for opportunities like this to speak and also to help lead Sunday schools. So through all these failures, I'm reminded of two passages in Scripture. One of them's John 8. And Jesus, the Pharisees are bringing a woman caught in adultery to Jesus. And they're about to stone her. And they're testing him. And then Jesus responds, you know, he who is without sin casts the first stone. And then one by one, they leave. And he asked the woman, woman, where are those that condemn you? They're like, and she says, they're gone, my Lord. And he's like, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That verse or that passage plays a huge role in my life of understanding God's overwhelming mercy where I deserve death and damnation. The other thing is Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And amidst all my failures and letdowns, God still remains faithful to me. He's still drawn me to walk with him. And I'm forever grateful through my failures to be ever closer to him. And I'm excited in the next stage of my life to be even closer to him. So thank you so much for allowing me to speak here today. I know I ended a little bit early, okay. But thank you so much for allowing me to speak here today. So.
One of the things that's great whenever you have anyone with a military background is you always know you're going to be done on time or early. It is a beautiful thing. One of the things I so appreciate about John's testimony and that I have seen in spending time with him is his perspective on when you are trying hard to get your own way and it just doesn't happen. So many people react to that with bitterness and giving up. And with John, you just don't see that. And what you do see over the course of his life is the living out of that old saying that is attributed to St. Augustine, that our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. And one of the things that God has done in John's life, I think, is to build into him great compassion because of the things that he has gone through. He is not just a strong leader, but someone who is an excellent listener and who has been such a blessing, him and Abigail both, to the life and ministry of St. Philip. So thank you so much for sharing that all with us today. We're very grateful. Let me close us with a prayer and a blessing. Father, we thank you for John and for Abigail and for their witness and ministry. Lord, we pray that you would surround them with your mercy and grace and that you would continue to guide them on this journey of ministry. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless them and their family, and we thank you for them. Lord, we do lift up all of those who are suffering in the wake of Hurricane Helene. We thank you for all of the first responders and nonprofits and others who are seeking to aid them. Lord, we pray that you would surround all of them with your grace and mercy and that you would provide what is needful for those who are in distress. And Lord, we pray that you would move in our hearts and whatever you might desire to have us do in that area as well. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you so much for coming.